Now let me call us together around the reading of God's Word. And today we're going to deal with the passage of Nehemiah chapters 8 through 10. But I've got a couple of key scripture verses that I would like to share with you. And the first is in Nehemiah chapter 8 verses 1 through 3. Nehemiah chapter 8 verses 1 through 3. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The second passage is from Ezra chapter 10, verses 28 through 33. Now the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all who have separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, all who have knowledge and understanding, join with their brothers, their nobles, and enter into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law that was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God. The Lord our Lord, and his rules and his statutes. We will not give our daughters to the peoples of the land or take their daughters for our sons. And if the peoples of the land bring in goods or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day. And we will forego the crops of the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. We also take on ourselves the obligation to give yearly a third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God, for the showbread, the regular grain offering, the regular burnt offering, the Sabbaths, the new moons, the appointed feasts, the holy things, and the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel and for all the work of the house of our God. And may our Lord and God add his blessing to the reading of that word. We've been in this particular section of the Old Testament as a tribute, if you will, to the new year, because this was a new start for Israel as they came back to rebuild the land. And as we have talked about, we've covered some topics as far as loving God, how we sometimes get distracted from our work, how we deal with disappointments. And so I hope that this brief study has been helpful to you. Today, what we're going to be looking at is how it was not only a reconstruction of the physical part of the city, the walls and the temple, but it was also a reconstruction and a renewal to the commitment to the Word of God. Your thought for today is, lives are changed when God's Word is heard. Lives are changed when God's Word is heard. We heard from the Savins this morning about how there are people in the world who crave God's Word to the point where they put their lives on the line to gather around a radio that is being, transmission is being beamed from thousands of miles away in order that they could hear God's Word. And they shared letters with us this morning about how meaningful and impactful that was to their lives, that they could hear God's Word coming to them. I want to continue to remind us and encourage us that in this country of abundance, where God's Word is so readily available, where if we so chose, we could stand on the street corner in King Street and read it out loud all day long without anybody coming by to arrest us. And yet it's so neglected. It's not listened to. It's not received. But here you have a people who are hungry for God's Word, and they asked that it be read to them, and they wanted that Word in their lives again, and God wanted it in their lives again. And so God wanted them not just to dedicate the walls, dedicate the temple, but He wanted them to rededicate themselves, to renew their lives and to turn back to Him as His people. The scripture says that they were attentive to that word. That means that they paid close attention to it. If you remember a few Sundays ago, we talked about the Shema in Deuteronomy. Shema, or listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love Him with all heart, soul, and mind. And so that Shema meant to pay close attention and to receive that word into yourself, to act upon it. Don't just let yourselves be hearers of it. James, as I shared with the children this morning, James encourages us not to be hearers of the word and not, or to be hearers of the word and to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so what the people here were called upon to do, as Ezra stood for 6 hours and he read from God's word. Now, can you imagine that? If you assembled here at 7 o'clock in the morning and at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I put the Bible down. But that was not all that was going on. The Levites came and they actually interacted with the crowd, explaining to the crowd what those words meant. There was a very oral society. They knew that to receive God's word, they were to keep their ears open. They were to listen attentively. But all of them did not understand all of the nuances. And so the Levites actually went out into the crowd and explained to them in groups, this is what that word means. They applied that word. And so it was a very intense time with the people of God so that the word of God would be heard by them, but not only heard, but understood by them, so that that word could then be applied to their lives. And so that word of God, renewing the hearts of the people, led them first to a confession of their sins. And that's in chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. The people began to confess their sins. The people began to recount their journey with God, if you will, all the way from being brought out of bondage in Egypt and all of the good things that God had done for them, and then how they had still been wayward in their obedience, and how their fathers had been wayward, and how they had paid the price for it. And now they were confessing to God their sins. And so one of the first things that renewing our hearts in God's word does is it brings about a realization of who we are before Him. And it spurs us to a confession that we have not measured up. And so one of the things that I want to encourage you in, if one of your plans for the new year, one of your desires for the new year is to become closer to God, is that first part of that journey begins with a realization of how far you've drifted away from Him. The people here realized that even though God's grace and goodness had continued to be poured out to them, and folks, let's be honest and real, God's grace and goodness has been poured out on all of you, myself included. We have a lot of stuff. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But it's not just our stuff. It's about our lives. It's about the things that we are able to do. Now, I understand that health concerns and all of these kind of concerns comes in the lives of all of us. But we have been blessed immeasurably. God's mercy, God's grace has been poured out to us, not just in material possessions, but in spiritual way, so that we can have a forgiveness of our sins, we can be called a child of God. And so all of these things that God continues to come toward us with, we need to understand that we need to confess to Him the shortcomings that's been in our hearts, the waywardness that we have had. And that is what the people did that day, is that that word of God, hearing that law, brought them to tears. And they began to confess in the presence of Ezra and the Levites, not only their sins, but the sins of their fathers that had brought them to a time when they were cast out of their land. And now they're coming back into their land and they want to rededicate themselves to this. Think of it as you've wandered away from the Lord. You haven't been as close to Him as you would like. You haven't been as close to Him perhaps as you have been in times past. And so that wandering away now, as God's word is beginning to penetrate into your heart, either through the spoken word that's in a sermon or a radio broadcast or a television show, or the written word that you read and receive into yourself. That word is beginning to penetrate. Now you're coming back and you want to renew yourself. You want to be renewed in that word. And so you're coming back to Him and you're confessing your waywardness. You're acknowledging the things in your life that have kept you from being as close to God as He wants us to be. And so as the people confessed their sins, as they confessed their waywardness, they were actually confessing their desire to return close into a closer relationship with Him. And in Nehemiah 10, they began to speak about the things that they were going to do so that God would see that they were not only hearers of the word, but that they were doers of the word also. And so they began to profess the things. And the first thing they said is they talked about how they were going to allow the renewing of their hearts to affect their relationships. They mentioned their marriages. The kingdom of God, and God has caught a lot of criticism about various aspects of how He dealt with Israel during that time and the things that He commanded them to do. One of the things that God has been criticized for in His kingdom is that He commanded the people to only marry within the Jewish community. And so God was saying, you know, that in other words, it was a type of racism that God was commanding to do. It had nothing to do with racism. It had everything to do with purity. One of the things that God knew would happen is if they started marrying outside of that theocracy, outside of the community of believers, is that new ideas would come in, false gods would come in. At these marriage ceremonies, they would have their gods present with them. And so it was a constant fight, a constant battle by the spiritual leadership of Israel and in the prophets of God to confront the people about holding on to the gods of the nations surrounding them, about holding on to the beliefs of the nations surrounding them and not follow those paths, because God was calling them, God is calling us to be a separate and holy people. And so we too walk in the same path as these people in ancient Israel, where we are surrounded by false ideas, where we are surrounded by ideas that want to take us further away from God. We are bombarded by them on TV and in advertisements. Our children bring them home to us from school. The people that we associate with infiltrate our hearts and minds with various ideas and doctrines that they think are right. And it goes back to mankind living in a way where mankind, wants to choose for himself what is right and what is wrong. We've talked about that in this little series that we've gone through. Because it is man's desire to put ourselves on our own, on the throne of God, and to relieve God of His duty of being King and God and Savior and Lord. And so we want to decide and choose for ourselves what we believe to be right and what we believe to be wrong. And we can convince ourselves very easily, as we've been studying about on Wednesday nights, we can convince ourselves very easily how to choose for ourselves what is right and what is wrong by leaving God's word out entirely. And so what I want to drive home to you here in this section is renewing our hearts to God changes the way we view our relationship. This isn't a treatise on marriage here. This is a treatise on how we view our relationships, who we associate with, who we receive information from, who do we listen to in our lives. There needs to be a concern in all of our lives about the friendships, the bonds that we form, and how that bond may be, that friendship, that relationship may be affecting our own spirituality. Are we receiving things in that friendship that are that is carrying us closer to God, or are we receiving things in that friendship that's carrying us farther away from God? Is that friendship interfering with our spiritual life, or is it building up our spiritual life? You young people, keep that in mind as you form friendships. I'm not saying not to be friendly, and I'm not saying not to be friends with those who don't go to church, who don't know the Lord, because that's how the word is shared. But if we're going to be renewed in God's word, then one of the things we need to pay attention to is how that relationship is affecting our spiritual lives. Is it taking us farther away from the Lord, or is it encouraging us in our faith? Is it strengthening our faith? Of course, they mentioned marriages here. God wants godly marriages. That's for another sermon. But the point I want to drive home, as I said, is renewed hearts that are changed by God's word pay attention to their relationships. In another area of my life that they mentioned here, renewing our hearts to God changes the way we view our time. Again, the relationship that they had formed with the surrounding nations was a relationship of trade. They were rebuilding the economic structure of Jerusalem. They were coming back to live as a people independent, to buy, sell, and trade. And so those surrounding nations that knew nothing of the Sabbath rest that God had commanded his people to observe would bring their wares in, and the people would trade with them. And so now they're saying, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to keep that Sabbath holy. One of the things that the observance of the Sabbath, and again, let me repeat, this is not going to be a treatise on Sabbath, but it's a treatise on how we spend our time. One of the most important things that we have, probably the most important thing that we have in our possession, is our time. We guard it carefully. We squander it a lot, but it is the most important possession that we have. What God asked his people to do was to trust me. Even back when they were wandering in the wilderness, he said, I'm going to supply the food that you need daily. The manna was falling. I'm going to give you your daily bread. Scripture tells us that if they tried to keep more than they needed for that day, it would rot overnight. But then God had a special thing to test their faith, because he said, on the day before my Sabbath rest, you go out and you collect 2 days' worth of food. And I will preserve it, I will keep it, so that you do not have to go out and gather on my Sabbath rest. It was an attitude of trust that God was developing between himself and his people. It was an attitude of saying, I'm going to supply your needs so well so that you can afford to sit this day, to reflect upon my goodness, to reflect upon my relationship, to gather strength for your next day's work. To take time aside from making a living and focus on me. And that is what he asked his people to do. And they had not been doing that. And so he said, from now on, we're going to pay attention to that Sabbath. We're not going to trade with these people. We're going to continue to separate ourselves from them in this special way. Again, God working in the lives of the people to purify them, to keep them holy, set apart for his service, so that they, his people, now in this modern day, us, the church of God, are set apart for his service in that same way, by following him, by listening to him, by not blending into all that is surrounding us, so that the world cannot see the difference between the church and themselves. I read one time that the world wants the church to be different. But the church is so busy trying to blend in. The church is so busy trying to be like the things of the world, that the world has lost sight of who the church truly is. Now let me bring that home. When you leave this church, we've in essence set ourselves apart today. But when you leave this church today, when you wake up in the morning and you go back out into that workplace, do you represent the church in a way so that the world can see a difference? Or do you do your lifestyle, your habits, your language, your thoughts, your actions so well blend in with those who live their lives apart from God that no one can tell the difference? God was evangelizing the world through his people, and he wanted his people to be set apart, to be holy, to be pure from the impurities of the surrounding nations, so that his word, his truth, his character will be reflected in their lives. And that's what he's calling the church today to be, a reflection of his character, a reflection of his holiness, a reflection of his beauty that says to the world that God is great, God is good. And we reflect that image in all that we do, all that we think, all that we say. God was calling upon his people to be that way. And they said, yes, we will do that. That word had penetrated their hearts. It was changing them. And then they said, our renewed hearts is going to change the way that we view our possessions. They talked about what they were going to do and give to the church. Material possessions are probably the second most important thing to us. We talked about time. Material possessions are probably the second most important thing to us. We build houses to protect just our possessions. People make a good living building well-manufactured buildings to store that old dusty and rusty fishing rod in, don't they? That vest that you can't zip up anymore, somebody's making a good living storing that stuff for you because it's precious. It has a meaning. It has a desire that maybe one day I'll fit back into it. And so there's something there that attaches us to that possession in a way that we build houses and structures to house not our families, but our possessions. Now, part of that may be I just want to take care of what God's given me. If that's the reason, that is a good thing. But when God's word penetrates us, God's word reveals to us that our possessions are a gift from God. Yes, we work hard for them. Yes, we labor many long hours. Yes, we put up with a lot of stuff in our workplaces so that we can have money, so that we can buy stuff, so that we can provide for our family, so that we can have some recreation, so that we can enjoy life, and on and on and on and on. But until we begin to see our possessions as where their true origin is, our possessions then become our God. Our hearts move toward those things that we value most. That could be your second thought for today. Our hearts move toward those things that we value most. And so what are those things in your life that you value most? What is it that we possess that takes our attention, takes our energy? Well, God is saying, I want you to enjoy life. I want you to be able to provide for your family. But I also want you to know the origin of these things you possess. Who has truly given them to you? The people were saying that we have put you aside. Remember, Haggai called to them because they had gone out and started rebuilding their homes. And Haggai's prophecy to them was that you live in fine paneled houses while God's house still lies in ruin. And so the people returned convicted of straying from the purpose that God had sent them there to do in rebuilding that city and rebuilding his house. And so we too can stray from the purpose that God has called us to in keeping true to his word and being a reflection of his glory, a reflection of his love, by straying and getting caught up in the very things his love, his grace has given to us. And so instead of seeing their source and praising and honoring God with our time, our service, and our possessions, we allow those very same things to take us away from God. I can't wait to try out this new boat. I can't wait to try out this new fill in the blank. I can't wait to try out this or wear this, whatever. And so by misusing God's grace, we put aside the love of God that He's showing to us by enabling us to possess those things. Let the Word of God penetrate our hearts to the point where our possessions don't lead us to recreations that take us out of the places that God wants us to be in. You can fill that blank in for yourself. So in essence here, the pledges were a commitment by the people of God, because when they heard the word of the law read to them, that word penetrated and it renewed their commitment for their time, their possessions, all that they had. And they were going to have a renewed effort. And how long did it last? Till chapter 13. When Nehemiah returned and found the people trading on the Sabbath, just like they had pledged not to do. And so, folks, as I finish this up here, and I thank you for your patience with me. Commitments we make to God, if they are to last, they have to be renewed daily. Now, does that mean that each day we wake up and we go over a list like these people did here? No. But it means that Scripture says God's grace falls fresh every day. And we have to take advantage of that grace by committing ourselves to loving God above all else this day. Not tomorrow, but this day, I'm going to love God above all else. That means that we look to God as the source of our time, as the source of our possessions, the source of our wealth, the source of all of who we are, the source of our relationships, and the fruitfulness of those relationships are a gift of God. And so each day we are to renew our commitment. Just as a marriage is to be successful, each day, whether we realize it or not, we commit ourselves to that partner. If a relationship is going to be sustained, not a marriage relationship, but just a friendship is going to be sustained, each day we commit ourselves to that relationship. And so our relationship with God is the same way. Each day we commit ourselves to serving Him and Him alone, relying upon His grace and His enabling Spirit to renew our hearts daily, to renew our commitment to Him daily, so that the desire of God's heart for His people can be realized in us, His church. Lives are changed when God's word is heard. Hearing God's word is like the Shema, when it's paid attention to, when it's received in our hearts, when we understand it, when we act upon it. Lives are changed. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you this day that you have given to us changed lives through the work of your word revealed to us and expounded by your Spirit. And so, Father, I ask that you will continue to change the lives of your people here this day by a renewed commitment to your word, and allow it to penetrate into our hearts, to ask the Spirit's diligence, empowering us to allow that word to transform our lives, renewing us every day to be committed to the call of God in our lives, to placing Him first, to allowing Him to be Lord as well as Savior. And so, Father, we pray this earnestly this day through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.